Well, that's a very appropriate lyric today, because what I'm hearing from South Africa, Pastor Martins, is that the white people are getting ready for a shooting war against, you know, the establishment down there. How are you doing today, Pastor? Hello, are you with me? Pastor Martins.
Okay. Good evening, Pastor, yes. And good evening to all our listeners. I'm sorry, I just had my microphone muted there and I forgot to turn the muting off.
Okay.
It happens from time to time.
Yeah, right.
Pastor, yes, definitely so. What we're finding is that there is a drastic change in, or an increase in, the threats against the whites in particular, and from the government side, with Cyril Ramaphosa being the president, or the instated, he was never elected, but the instated president, which is very important, a very important issue to understand. He was not voted into power. He was nominated into power. Rather, he was instituted into power. And one of the first things that he said was, of course, his political rhetoric that land expropriation would take place without any compensation. Uh-huh. And that falls in line with what Julius Malema had been demanding for the past quite a number of years. In fact, that is how Julius Malema obtained his propagandistic popularity, is that is by promising the blacks everything that the whites own will be expropriated and will be given onto the blacks that follow him.
Sounds like, and a Democrat here in America. They're always making exactly. promises, all right? But that they never keep.
What one must also bear in mind is that Julius Malema used to be the leader of the so-called ANC Youth League, which of course is the government, and he fell in out of tune with earlier on, even before Jacob Zuma's time. He made threats the like of breaking away from the ANC, in which he eventually did. But there's reason to believe that he had become the militaristic, or the EFF, so-called Economic Freedom Fighters, had become the it is believed that they are still in total cahoots with the ANC. It's
right.
just that now the ANC has a way in which they can propagate the notion that they are being levered into moving further towards communism, which of course that was what the objective has
sure.
been all along.
Has now, always been,
what
yes.
also happened? What also happened is that in this past week, they obtained the 2/3 majority, which is which puts them in power to change the constitution. Now, this so-called watertight, infallible constitution that was drafted in lieu of the 1994 elections, which F.W. de Klerk and his Freemason gangsters have propagated to be an infallible constitution. And
how has it worked? Has it worked infallibly, Pastor Martins?
Well, Pastor, in spite of such a constitution, the whites have been alienated from the workplace. They've been alienated from even large corporations, and international companies have been subjected to the demands of the ANC government for the institution of or the instatement of blacks in not just middle management, but even in directorships. And to this end, many of the cabinet ministers of the ANC have received free directorships and ownership grants by many of the large organizations in South Africa. And
right.
one particular case that I know of, and I have mentioned this before, is that one of the cabinet ministers was granted a share in or shares in one of the large medical groups in South Africa.
Yes.
And not long after that, she, of course, sold her 36 million rands worth of share at something like 6 million rand, which, of course, had them up in arms because it basically meant that their shares had dropped in value by a value of six.
Right.
So,
well, that's what they get to selling, giving those to a black woman. That's right.
Well, Pastor, it just falls in line with what Scripture says. Don't cast your pearls to the swine.
Shekels. That goes for shekels, too.
Yes. Now, what I don't mean to be derogatory towards the what the pearls are and what they depict in Scripture, because that is now totally different, but the parallels are so clearly there. And
right.
In any case, anything in South Africa which has been controlled by blacks has devalued if you consider, for example, when Jacob Zuma at one occasion I actually stated that if he sneezed, the value of the South African rand dropped against in value against the American dollar. And now with Cyril Ramaphosa, the rand climbed steadily against the other major currencies. And only a few days later, when Cyril Ramaphosa made the expropriation bill known to, it has been accepted by Parliament. It is now to go before an advisory committee and etc. But the fact that that was even mentioned in Parliament and accepted by Parliament meant that the rand has greatly dropped again against all major currencies. And now the next problem appears, and I don't think people have really thought about this. In a city like Cape Town, the value of houses have drastically increased over the past 20 years. And with that, of course, with the value of the house, the rates and taxes associated with that which is getting paid to the municipality and the parastatal organizations is also increased. Now, with the announcement of Cyril Ramaphosa that expropriation of land without any compensation has become a bitter pull for the foreigners who have invested over the past 20 years in multi-million dollar valued houses on the prime properties in Cape Town in particular, which is, of course, one of the major destinations, holiday destinations in the world.
Right.
These houses are now going to be sold at values far below their
value. Yeah, I was just going to say, the value's going to drop. Yeah, the value's going to drop. The owner can't get compensated for it.
If the owner can't get compensated for it, it's going to go into the market, hopefully for the somebody to come and purchase the land. Rather than
some Jew. That's a signal to the Jews of the world to go down to South Africa and buy, right?
Yes.
Bargain basement rates.
Now, what goes along with that? These farms and land and houses and property that has been established over the past 363 years has now become without value.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so many of these houses are still being paid off by the present owners, so they are paying the banks. What happens when these houses get expropriated?
Yes.
Who's going to now pay the balance of that cost to the banks? The banks have to stand up against this if they want to continue to exist, or alternatively, if they wish to be bailed out again for the so manyth time by the public sector or by the taxpayers.
Yes. Well, that's probably what's going to happen, because the banks aren't going to bite the bullet on this. It's just the taxpayers and the homeowners who are going to bite the bullet, the white taxpayers and homeowners, right? That's who's going to pay.
But something that must lose. Also be stated at this point, Pastor, is that Julius Malema has spent a few visits to Chancellor House in London over the past few years. And every time he comes back from Chancellor House in London, he visits Zimbabwe and in particular Robert Mugabe. And he has very close ties, Julius Malema has very close ties with Robert Mugabe, and Robert Mugabe at one stage gave him some advice as to how to do land grabbing.
Right. How to take white people's stuff. Oh, you know, we have this idea here in America that, blacks like to steal from white people. All right. I guess he's... they're verifying that, right? The blacks are thieves.
In fact, they are underlining it with bold and italics and also in fluorescent coloring.
Right. They sure are. In they neon. Sure are. Now, isn't Mugabe, he's still not in power in Zimbabwe, is he? I thought someone took over.
Yes, Pastor. He was actually... asked to resign by his party, and
really,
he deemed it to be a sad. He deemed it to be a sad date for Zimbabwe.
well, sad day for him, but probably not for Zimbabwe. Their new minister invited white farmers back.
That's correct, Pastor. But I think it's too late.
Too late. Yes.
So many of these farmers have already settled. South African and. Even in South Africa, so many farmers have settled themselves in some of the in Georgia, for example, in Russia. There's a large there are large communities of South African farmers where their skills are being exploited and where they express themselves as farmers, and they are doing the Russian economy a great favor, and also so in the United States. I spoke with
In Australia too.
In the United States, and this person said to me, "Well, this person was conversing with me in very clear and perfect Afrikaans." Mm-hmm. And I said to this guy, I asked this guy, "How long have you been in the States?" And he said to me, "He was born there." I said to him, "But how come you speak Afrikaans so well?" He said to me, "Well, his parents migrated from South Africa some time ago, and in fact," he said to me, "he went into he schooled in Afrikaans, and they went to an Afrikaans church." And he said to me, "Such a large proportion of their community in that particular town." I cannot remember what town it was.
They're trying to civilize Texas.
And he said to me that they have a
flourishing congregation.
Afrikaans community in that town. Yeah. Which, of course, and then, of course, also, yes, you're right about Australia as well as New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, what choice do white South Africans have at this point, when they realize their government has been exterminating them? And my understanding is that the white farmers are now being encouraged to arm and are arming themselves against these invaders. Is that an accurate report? What's happening there right now?
Pastor, if you can recall, the Boeremacht trial, which was a record trial which lasted 11 years.
Wow.
That's how long it took to compile suitable cases against these gentlemen who had...
They defended themselves, no?
With the 1994 elections advancing, and they were lured into groups that intended to attempt the handover of South Africa, of white South Africa, to the blacks, because this had been on the cards for a long time. In fact, way back in 1983, 84, it already became evident that the then Afrikaner government, being a gang of Freemasons and Afrikaner Broederbondes, the Afrikaner Brotherhood, so to speak, which they...
which are not Boer. They're not Boer people. They're anti-Boer.
No, they're really definitely not. In fact, one of the things that I could establish and that I managed to get the living evidence and proof of is, and that is that the British weren't the ones that instigated and started the war against the Boers. It was they were enticed into it. In fact, I have a copy of a speech that was made by Queen Victoria at the time. I think it was Queen Victoria who visited Australia. In Australia, she made a speech, or at least this particular article came from an Australian daily newspaper in which the Queen stated that Britain was not in this war or did not enter this war with the Boers because they wanted to. And that was because they were forced to. She didn't say that, or I didn't read it in that article, but it was because the Afrikaner Broederbond under a Hofmeyr, Onze Jan Hofmeyr, who was the initiator of this organization and also the chairman of this organization, they were in fact in a conspiracy against the Boers to eradicate and exterminate the Boers because, of course, they, as Afrikaners, stemming from the Edomites, of course, they knew that the Boers were Israelites and they wanted to exterminate the Israelites. And that is exactly what is happening today across the globe. It's the Edomites who want to exterminate the Israelites. And to this end, they... Then, first of all, they went through a negative propaganda or a false propaganda mission to get the disfavor, to gather the disfavor of the Boers or of the nations of the world against the Boers. So they sent false propaganda to all places. In fact, I found some of this propaganda in the archives of the Washington Post and the New York Times, and also the British, one of the British newspapers that I managed to get hold of the archive of, I found the evidence very clearly to that effect. And then they conspired to.
Enemies pretending to be your friends.
Well, possibly they have been doing that ever since. If you look at the messages which the Afrikaners and the Afrikaner Broederbond have been sending out over the past three generations, is that the Afrikaners have been subject to the bigotry of the British, of the biggest and most powerful might on this planet, unleashing its powers against the Afrikaners, which of course the Afrikaners were part and parcel. In fact, I stumbled over a website just this past one or two days.
Well, that's just tricky language. They're using tricky language when in fact they were conspiring with the British against the Boers. So they're rewriting history. Yeah.
No, Pastor, they weren't conspiring with the British. They were conspiring amongst themselves and the Freemasons. And to that end, they wanted the British to get involved. They even the Jameson invasion was even a pseudo, and it was given to be a
trick
pseudo
to get,
invasion
get
by
Britain
the
involved.
British.
Right, it was a trick to get Britain.
They wanted to trick the Boers into declaring war against Britain. Mm-hmm. That was the whole aim of the Jameson invasion, and in fact. When that failed, then they conspired again and they decided Cecil John Rhodes and one of the Afrikaners, I forgot whom it was, went to meet with Rothschild in person in London. And after that meeting, soon after that, Lord Rothschild then closed the taps, the financial taps on the British government at the time.
Uh-huh.
The British government was forced to the verge of bankruptcy, and that led to the peaceful invasion of the
peaceful
Boer
invasion
by the,
by
yes,
the British.
It was a peaceful invasion by the British. They did
immigration
they
war.
Stated they, they didn't want to fire a shot, and they didn't fire a shot in the invasion. They merely marched in and lowered the Boers' flags, and it was you must remember what they held the Boers hostage to was the very same conventions by which the British had acknowledged the sovereignty of the Boer Republic. So the Boers did not fight back.
It was called peace. They didn't fight because it was called peace, right? But just as Obama has done to America for 8 years, right? Invading us with illegal aliens, and you call it peace. Yeah.
Yes,
that's the way it works.
Then it was only after that the Freemasons had positioned their pawns in the right positions where the Boers were then lured into declaring war against the British.
Right.
And that was that actually triggered the firing of the first shots, and the when the British couldn't make head of tails out of these. I mean, it was in the end, it was something like 467,000 or 76,000 British troops from the whole Commonwealth, which included New Zealand and Australia and Canada and India and Britain and, of course, Scotland and Ireland and Wales and the whole of the British Empire was drawn into this world war against the smallest and the youngest nation on the planet. And they couldn't overcome them. And then these Afrikaners, in their conspiracy, in their conspiring to eradicate the Boers, they then said, why don't the British erect concentration camps, and we take those women and children, we burn their houses and we burn their farms and we burn and kill the animals, and then the women and the children go into this concentration camp.
Yeah, civilized warfare. Civilized warfare of the British, yes. Mm-hmm.
But then it became a war not just against the Boers who were on commando. It became a war against the Boers' women and children.
Right.
And, of course, their aged of days as well. And to this extent...
Well, this war, it's still going on today. It's still going
on today.
Yes.
Also, if you look back onto our Skype conversation or the messaging part of it, you'll see that I posted a picture there of the farm murders. That this is just the murders on the farmers for the first 2 months of 2017. And there you can see Hannes Kitson. He's 69 years old. He had his throat cut. Esther Kitson, his wife, she had a throat cut. Michael Andrews, 77, he was murdered. Anne-Marie Potgieter, 39 years old, murdered. Courtney Denner, 77.
Okay, now is there any justice done for these people, or are these murders completely ignored by the ANC regime?
Pastor, they're not just ignored by the ANC regime, they're also ignored by the official opposition, the Democratic Alliance, of course, which is a Jewish consortium which has been waging a propaganda war against liberty in South Africa for the past 120 years, because, as you know, the ANC was founded by the Jews, and the Democratic Alliance consists of a number of political parties that were all construed by the Jews as well. So they combined and they have become the official opposition as the Democratic Alliance. Now, again, we see the word Democrat with the emphasis on the rat,
R-A-T.
Because that is what they are. They are invaders. They are foreigners who bind themselves together around a particular conspiracy type of philosophy to overtake the government of the country on which they're parasiting.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what has been happening in South Africa with, of course, with the wealth, the mineral wealth of South Africa that had become the fixation of these Jews and
Freemasons, globalists,
and Freemasons.
The usual suspects, right? But here, because South Africa is still the whites of South Africa, especially the Boer people, are still being vilified. They won't give up the propaganda. First of all, they won't tell the truth about who's really in charge. It's not white people in charge in South Africa. It's Jews and Freemasons, okay, with their partners in crime, the Afrikaners, who are, according to you, more Edomite than they are white, okay? And so, but of course, these demographics are insignificant in a multicultural state, or are they?
Of course, Pastor, if you consider that the Freemasons, the Afrikaner Freemasons, have had the past, since 1773, they have been orchestrating government in South Africa. They have actually, already in 1773, when the first Masonic Lodge was built in Cape Town, what is Cape Town today, the government of the day at the time was orchestrated out of the lodge of the Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, the Houses of Parliament in Cape Town is built in the forecourt or the foreyard of the Freemasons' lodge. And, of course, the Freemasons are getting a monthly, massive monthly payment by the South African government for the fact that the Houses of Parliament is located on the front lawn of the Freemasons' lodge.
Yeah,
right. And people don't realize that, of course, landlord of it's no coincidence that the landlords of the property on which the Houses of Parliament is built are Freemasons. And, of course, along with that goes the...
Now, has that massive property been devalued? Will that property be confiscated for nothing?
No, definitely not, because it belongs to the Freemasons. And the Freemasons are the pulling the strings from behind the curtains, and people are fighting this, I nearly said imbecile Jacob Zuma, who couldn't even, he could not even figure out how to say a, once the number is beyond 100, he had a problem in pronouncing it or stating it or saying it.
Right. Or adding it.
In so many of his, in so many of his speeches. You won't believe on a program like Top Gear. I don't know if you know Top Gear.
I've heard of it.
It's a motoring program.
Yes.
That is.
Is the guy a South African or a Brit? I've seen Top Gear, yeah.
Top Gear is a British program. It's a motoring program that has been running on BBC for, I think, beyond 20 years on BBC TV, and it's a very popular program. The imbecility and incapability of Jacob Zuma, the South African president, of being able to say figures has even featured on that particular program. They've made an absolute mockery of the South African president. Now, that is the type of image which is portrayed. And now the Boers, whom have been robbed of their farms with the Afrikaner invasion of the Boer republics in 1910, with the illegal union of South Africa into the Boer republics into the Union of South Africa in 1910, which was also an illegal action because there were certain aspects to that was never done as per the constitutions that had been prevailing at the time. So the institutions or the constitutions had not been met. So the whole thing was illegal. And it was also because it was an instigated and it was something that the Freemasons and, of course, the Jews wanted to take control of the South African or the Boer Republic's wealth and mineral wealth and diamonds, etc. So, yes. And of course, the benefit that the Afrikaners got was that they became the administrators and the managers and the likes of the businesses and the mines, which they had allowed the Jews to take control of. But yes. Today the Afrikaners are playing the victims of the Anglo-Boer War, yes. when they were in fact the instigators, the enticers.
The Jews taught them well. The Jews taught them well.
Exactly.
Play the victim, right?
But Pastor, the reason, and you're saying now the Jews taught them well. They are the Jews. We don't realize this because they have assumed or they have Dutch and Afrikaans sounding surnames. And
right.
But what many people don't realize is that many of these Dutch or these Jews, when they came over to South Africa, they assumed the surnames of many of the people whom they knew. So the surnames indicated or there's a lost of a lot of the information lost in translation. So the moment that the person assumes the surname of an Afrikaans individual, many people forget that he was originally a Jew that came into South Africa as a Jew.
Yeah.
Might be a Rabinowitz.
Right, Leibowitz. Frankenstein.
He assumed the name of a Afrikaans surname like Haynes.
Right.
Which is,
exactly.
But the thing that that you mentioned was, or that I wanted to mention here, is that the increase in the number of farm murders have escalated way beyond what would be deemed normal. In fact, at the moment, more people, more whites get killed in South Africa just because they are white and they are farmers, than American soldiers that die in the Afghan or in the Syrian war. And that's a reality. It's more dangerous to live on a farm in South Africa than it is to fight
in a war
in Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah, that's quite amazing that the mass media, the kosher press, ignores the plight of the South African farmers, and but still heaps insane accusations against the white apartheid regime. And for example, this post that you sent me, they're still putting this out this propaganda. There's an ugly reality that we can't just sweep under the rug. Apartheid benefited white South Africans at the cost of all others. Now, of course, that's not true. The apartheid regime did everything it possibly could to help blacks. Okay? I'm just going to quote here a couple of statistics. Since 1917, the budget, and this is about the apartheid government, the white rule, for black education was raised by about 30% per year every year. More than any other government department. In the period to 1955 to 84, the amount of black school students increased 31 times from 35,000 to 1.1 million. 65% of black South African children were at school compared to Egypt 64%, Nigeria 57%, and basically more than any other African nation. Okay? And then just one more here. Amongst the adults of South Africa, 71% could read and write, 80% between ages 12 and 22. Compare this to Kenya, 47%, Egypt, 38%, Nigeria, 34%, Mozambique, 26%. So by all comparisons, black South Africans had a higher standard of living than any other group of blacks in South Africa, yet the Jews media never reports these things. Yes.
In Africa, Pastor, not just South Africa, in Africa.
Right.
And
Absolutely.
Even greater even greater than in the United States itself, because if you look at that, you'll see that some of the figures are also stated for the United States. There was a higher rate of literacy amongst the South African blacks under a white government, even though it be an Afrikaner government. I want to give them the credit to that. The literacy rate amongst the, I must remember that in spite of the fact that South Africa's blacks, there are about 17 different tribal groups in South Africa, black tribal groups. And many of those tribal groups, when in 1936, when the South African Afrikaners, South African government negotiated with the black tribe leaders or the heads of the tribes, in terms of educating the youngsters or the children that were in their tribes and in their, we call them at their stud, which is a clans. And many of those blacks refused to have their children educated under a white so-called European standard. They wanted their children to be educated in their own manner, in their own customs, in their own. They were not even interested in having their children educated in terms of things like mathematics or even arithmetic, because it was not relevant to their tribes. The cultures, there was a major culture clash between the European principles or the European standards, rather than principles, and the that which was being demanded by the black culture groups in South Africa. So in spite of all of that, those figures were still, which was evident at the time. In other words, I want to say this about the Afrikaner government at the time. In so far as leaning or reaching out to the blacks in South Africa, the various 17 different cultures and tribal groups, they did their damnest to teach and to increase the knowledge and the ability of these people to be able to stand in a work or in the workplace. And in spite of that, we still have this distorted figures that were given out into the world merely because it suited a particular agenda.
Yes, and also because they weren't race mixing with the blacks. They were improving the standard of living of blacks everywhere in South Africa, but because they weren't race mixing with them, they were staying separate from them. That offended the international Jew to no end. Okay? But but we see everywhere in the world, multiculturalism and race mixing has always led to the decline of every civilization that has adopted that standard, and that has never changed. Okay? So This is obviously a Jewish trick to get white South Africa, and that's why Mandela was elected. You know, it's a multicultural platform that promised a paradise on earth of all races living together and not in any way separate from the other races, and that this was the ideal, the liberal ideal to which South Africa must aspire. How has it turned out?
Absolutely disaster, Pastor. In fact, if you look at the situation in the world today, it is only the Jews that can live separate. Assign unto themselves the apartheid.
They never assimilate. Yes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And of course, with that being so evident, they deem themselves untouchable because is what they do. They can do things, but they don't allow anybody else to do exactly the same.
Yes. As George Orwell said it, in Animal Farm, George Orwell, some pigs are more equal than others.
Exactly. Of course, they have the right to have unthreatened, the right to have nuclear armament, but nobody else in their surrounds is allowed to have it.
Right. Yeah, it's appalling. Appalling hypocrisy, totally appalling. Here's some more statistics. The town of Soweto had, let's see, during the time of Dr. Verwoerd, the living standards of blacks were rising at 5% per year against that of whites at 3.9% a year. In 1965, the economic growth of South Africa was the second highest in the world at 7.9%. The rate of inflation was a mere 2% per annum, and the prime interest rate only 3% per annum. Domestic savings were so great that South Africa needed no foreign loans for normal economic expansion. At the height of the apartheid in 78, Soweto had 115 football fields, 3 rugby fields, 4 athletic tracks, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Parks, civic halls, movie houses, clubhouses. Soweto had 300 churches, 365 schools, and they built some number of 365 schools, 2 technical colleges, 8 clinics, 11 post offices, and this is an all-black town, right? Soweto has been all-black? Or was
it? Yes, absolutely positive.
Okay, so they did all this for these blacks, and what thanks do you get?
What thanks do you get? Costing clothes to pigs.
Yeah, yeah. Here's to pigs, that's right. Here's another astounding statement: the blacks of South Africa had more private vehicles than the entire white population of the USSR at the time.
Exactly.
Which tells you what communism is good for. Okay.
Yep.
Communism is a regressive institution. It's not progressive, as the libtards falsely believe. So now, where does Soweto stand today under black rule?
It's become the blacks have been propagated or propelled into this world of lavishness, which they cannot deal with, because they it just doesn't fit their style. And in spite of the fact that they have accumulated unto themselves billions, in fact, Cyril Ramaphosa himself is a black man married to a white woman who has accumulated himself a massive wealth. Of a few billion South African rands, and I've reason to believe that with nepotism, of course, he has perhaps gone way beyond the confines of the South African borders into most probably into countries like Switzerland and perhaps Spain, whatever. But the important thing to mention here is that they have accumulated unto themselves companies, and that they didn't accrue those companies. They accumulated it to themselves because they have been granted government contracts which they could not deal with. And then they appoint agents or other smaller companies to do that work for them, and it's being horrendous. You take, for example, a project like the Gautrain, which is a train system which runs from Johannesburg International Airport to Johannesburg city center via Sandton, and then also links up to Pretoria and some of the stations in between. Now, that whole project, when it was initially planned, it was the cost of that was deemed to be in the order of 4 billion South African rands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 4 billion South African rands is a lot of money, and at the end, it was in extent of more than 42 billion rands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a matter of there was a lot of. Many people
Off all the blacks with their hands out. Otherwise, no work gets done, right?
That is well, Pastor. But blacks who, or people that were opposed, people in positions that were opposed to the this project, were bought. I know, for example, I was involved with an organization that contested the building of, or the route through which that the train would have taken, or that had been elected to take through, right, Centurion. And I lived in Centurion, which is one of the southern suburbs of Pretoria. And of course, when we objected to that, the only way that we could really get our voices heard was to appoint organizations that would do a what was necessary to be done was a impact study, okay, of the and the consequences of that route. And yeah, when we attempted to get organizations to actually do these impact studies for us against payment, they refused, because they said they had already been appointed by the Gautrain, or the organization that was building the project themselves. So we went from organization to organization, and all the meaningful companies that could have done anything about the route that they had been elected to be taken was bought, even though they said to us they haven't received any contract as yet, but they've already been paid monies to prevent, right, them from getting involved with those that did oppose the project.
Right.
So it is very clear that there were people bought, and I can name names here, people who were insiders at the time, they working for the organization that even helped to pack the money that people were yes, bought with. You know, people whom opposed the project, like, and I'm going to name him, Bantu Lomisa, the old or the previous president of the Transkei. Of course, that was where Nelson Mandela came from. But uh-huh, the president of the Transkei, Bantu Lomisa, was opposed to this project, and the next minute he turned against or in favor of the project. But he received a few million in the back of his, in the boot of his car,
right,
while he visited. And in that way, his opposition to this project was cancelled, or he made a drastic change.
This is
the way in which things get done in South Africa.
Money talks and bribes walk.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, right. One more item here with about 6 minutes left. Article talks about the a fabulous hospital that was built in Soweto. In 1982 alone, this hospital performed 898 heart operations of world quality. Ironically, 90% of the blood donors for this hospital were whites, who donated blood free of charge, totally voluntarily, to save black lives. Quoted from the Citizen, 2 April 1987. And the article concludes by saying, whites have already given blacks their blood. What more do they want?
Yeah. Pastor, donation or donating blood in South Africa has always been at the expense of the of the donor.
Yeah.
And there's been no compensation ever given, mm-hmm, to blood donors at all. However, people who receive the blood usually have to pay very large sums of money.
Oh, really?
And those, of course, are if the blood is not granted or paid for by the South African government for the purpose of finding favor with the blacks, if it is a white man that requires blood, it's a very expensive commodity.
Yes.
But if you consider now that I at one stage wanted to donate blood. In fact, my brother is about 17 years older than I am, but my brother has been a blood donor for most of his life. And then at one stage, his wife required to receive blood.
Oh.
And.
Ooh.
And.
He should have laid down right next to her. Right? But, instead of going. But, oh, my God.
But one of the things that they were told at the time was if any of their family or they would ever need blood, they would receive it free of charge because they had been donating more than a certain number of blood units.
Yes,
and so
gallons.
My brother's wife.
Right. Gallons, well, certainly, from him, right?
Well, he had donated blood for about 34 years at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when his wife required blood, he had to pay a lot of money just to have the blood. And he wanted to argue that. And he said, but he had been donating, well, like you said, gallons and gallons of blood. And they said to him, no, that never transpired. It was never it was suggested at some stage, but it never got accepted because the processing of blood is too expensive. However, the blacks get the blood free of charge, and
yes.
The blacks never donate blood.
Right.
It was never in their style to donate blood.
Which proves they don't even care about each other. You know, only white people have the compassion to donate blood, and then they get spat upon for doing so and lied about. It's really an incredible situation. So thank you for coming on board with us today, because this is a very enlightening about how the whites actually treated blacks during the apartheid era. We've been lied to over and over again by the global Jewish press, the libtard press, and the good things that white people have done for blacks in South Africa are totally hidden, and then the whites of South Africa are blamed for everything that went wrong, just the Mandela style, right? Blame whitey. And then be totally ungrateful for what whites have actually done for blacks. Can we expect any better in the future? Because didn't our Father Yahweh tell us to remain separate and not?
Absolutely, Pastor.
All right, go ahead. We have 2 minutes left.
We are commanded not to mix. In fact, there was a penalty in any race mixing. In fact, even the Israelites amongst themselves were not to mix amongst the various tribes. They were to marry within their own tribes only. And people don't realize one of the reasons why I believe the Boers in South Africa have accumulated unto themselves the, shall I say, the aggression or the...
Judgment?
The judgment of Father Yahweh is because we have intermixed with so many different other Israelite groups.
Okay.
Which Father Yahweh clearly stated with the Israelites, where each tribe had its own land. They were given their own land, and they were instructed to actually stay apart.
Yes. But while the Boer people, Boer people were blessed at Blood River, because even though they did make treaties with blacks, it was separation treaties. Okay.
It was separation and also coexistence treaties.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Because we had no desire to exterminate them. Right. The Boer people just wanted to be left alone.
Exactly.
But the Jews and other races will not leave us alone. They constantly pursue us, as per Genesis 3:14 and 15. No matter where we go, the other races pursue us and suck on our blood like vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I likened it into the circling of these vultures.
Yeah, right.
Looking for an opportunity to parasite on the Israelites,
white,
the true
white
Israelites.
Race. Absolute. Okay. Yeah. All right, Pastor Martins. Very good. We'll continue this discussion next Sunday. A good quality sound again from your end.
Yes, okay? Thank you very much, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Martins.
Greatly appreciate it. Keep
all right,
well,
folks.
And, praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Thanks for listening, folks. This has been today's edition of Voice of Christian Israel. And keep listening and tell everybody you know about Eurofolk Radio. Thank you.